Stand by. I'll be right there.
Hello, everyone. Once again, you have your boy, Goodwill Mabena. Each and every time I bring a special guest on this show, and on this episode, I have a man by the name of Ubongane Thungwane. When I saw this man for the first time and I had an encounter with him, he triggered me and he made me remember some of the things that I want to achieve, and he reminded me of some of the missions I want to achieve within the religious space. Without any further ado, let me introduce you to Ubongane Thungwane. How are you,
sir? I'm good, sir. How are you?
I am good. Was the introduction fitting?
Yes, it was fitting.
You don't want to add anything?
No, I'm glad. The first time I also met you, Guy, it was a privilege for me to know you, and also to get to you to a person who has such wisdom for me.
Wisdom?
Yeah, this person was knowledgeable. And
thank you, man. You know, really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't want to tell us a bit about yourself?
Okay, as you said, my name is Bongani.
Yeah.
And I was born and bred here at Ekangala.
Yeah.
And also I've studied IT.
IT?
Yes, IT and support services.
Wow.
Right, currently I've articulated to do a degree.
Yeah.
In business systems.
Yeah.
Looking forward to finishing my course and aspiring for more in life.
Wow. Before I actually get to having the conversation start, I'd like to honor you for accepting the invitation, man. You know, it's taking away from your time, and I fully appreciate, and I know that you're a person who is busy and has a life of their own. I just mentioned that you're studying, so coming here is really an honor for me, and I really would like to thank you.
A pleasure, man.
So let's get to the thing. Dun, dun, dun. My friend, what would you consider to be spirituality, and why do you identify yourself with Christianity?
Because the questions are like in two, so can I begin with one and then
yes, of course.
I go, I'll answer the second one. So what do I consider to be spirituality for me?
Yes.
It is, I consider like to express myself.
Yeah.
Expressing myself in understanding in every aspect of my personal life and public life also.
Yeah.
Meaning finding meaning of life, finding purpose of what I want to aspire of.
Yeah.
And in that I identify my spirituality with Christianity because I found that in Christianity that's where I belong. Like, I'm able to see my direction in life.
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah.
Who is Bongani? Or what am I aspiring for more?
Yeah. It's interesting that you mention the fact that spirituality for you personally is expression, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming now that the higher your spirituality, the greater the degree of expression.
Good.
So how do you then express yourself? How do you learn how to express yourself?
How do I learn
how
to express myself?
Yes. In order to increase your spirituality or vice versa.
Nice one. I'll say I'm just keeping things simple.
Okay.
Keeping things simple. You know, my spirituality, I'll say praying every day.
Yeah.
When I identify it as Christianity, is praying every day, keeping it simple. Connecting to my spiritual being, my inner man.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I'll express my spirituality out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any African practices that you follow through to enhance your spirituality?
No.
Not
to be honest.
Yes.
No. Only that.
Yeah.
Only that. And I do respect the other aspects of practices.
Yeah.
But for myself, this one was the
The one that you were brought up to.
Thank you.
And your parents also Christian? Oh,
no.
They're not Christian. Wow. So how did you find Christianity?
That's the most interesting part.
Yeah.
In my family, I would say I went the direction of the Christianity way.
Okay.
And though at home they stuck into the indigenous way.
Yeah.
Though we all Christians, but they understood my path.
Yeah.
When I said, okay, now I've accepted.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus is my personal
yes.
Lord and Savior, and wow. I want this,
mm.
and I respect whatever. Since they are my parents, since it's my family, I've not even denied or abandoned whatever practice is being done.
Yes,
I still embrace it because it makes me who I am.
And you honoring of your parents, of course.
Thank you.
Wow, but was it not a difficult journey for you to transition? And were they not hard on you?
I thank my mom. Mm. Yeah, I thank
it's
my
always
mom.
Always the mother.
I thank my mom. Mother. You know, the first early stages of my childhood, she told me, you know, go to church.
Yeah.
Did not understand at first.
Mm.
You know, when you grow up, you have those kind of questions. I don't want to go to church.
Mm.
Why church? Why
yeah.
this? I did not even understand Christianity on itself or spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, sorry for that.
But she pushed you
But she pushed me
to church.
At an early age.
Yeah.
You know, that I think she was practicing that verse or that book in the book of Proverbs where they say, train your child while they are young so that when they are old, they'll not depart from it.
Of course.
So, yeah.
And there's normally like a general rhetoric that children that go to church are well behaved. So I'm assuming that one of the things or one of the reasons why she would send you there without you know, giving you a clear intention of why and understanding mm-hmm. why. But she was like, if my child goes to church, he'll behave.
It's true. And right now I'm seeing the fruits of it. I'm seeing the outcome of it. And to see myself here, I'm like, wow.
Mm.
If it wasn't for Christianity or spirituality, I don't think I would be here.
Yes.
You know.
Wow, it's interesting. To get back to the fact that you said your family practice indigenous practices,
mm-hmm.
I just want to ask you this. You know, what do you make of ancestors, especially recognizing them as a practice of Hawaiians?
What do I make ancestors especially recognizing?
Yes.
Okay, like the practice awareness of it.
Yes.
My intake in that, I would say, you know, as people, let me start by myself.
Yeah.
I chose this.
Mm.
I chose to believe in the Christianity way.
Yes.
And also understanding my background.
Mm.
Understanding who I was and who I am.
Yes.
Even though I opted to take the Christianity way.
Yes.
I respected the belief of other people.
Yeah.
In surrounding me, like
fully embracing them, yeah.
Yeah, fully embracing it, because I can't come in a way of saying I don't believe in that or something like that. But if you practice it, remember, it started from an early age.
Mm.
So I can't say to my mom at this old age and say, that thing, I don't do it.
Yes.
She was doing it from way back.
Even
her mother, her grandmother, or the great-great-parents, the line that we are clan people.
Yeah.
So we understand that indigenous knowledge comes in many forms, I would say.
Yeah.
And so I would say, just believing in what you believe.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we have an African history, and we are fully recognizing of the fact that the church came into Africa, and African people were not aware of Christianity. And in that case, it is also apparent that there are many churches all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it that the masses of believers also happen to be poor, but tithing and offering are still expected of them?
Mm, nice one. This one, I remember... When I went through this preparation of this question,
yes,
what came to me was I saw an exploitation in the needy.
Sure.
I won't speak for the masses yes. of believers or the masses of denominations.
Yes.
Because we do things differently.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of who's saying what and what manipulative way are they saying it unto the needy.
Mm.
And also, while I was going through this, I stopped a bit.
Yeah.
I stopped and I examined myself to say, since I'm a person who's always in front,
yeah,
talking to people,
yes,
speaking such things of
leader
tithing,
of the leaders, yeah,
yeah, speaking to people of tithings and of and free will offerings,
yeah,
you know, what, how is the way I'm saying it out? I mean, am I manipulative or exploiting the desperation of the poor? Because even the poor people, when they act, they play a role in a way.
Yes,
I would say. They play a role in terms of how the decision is,
yeah,
because from what I've read,
yes,
when we give unto God, we give with a cheerful heart,
yeah,
a willing heart,
mm,
rather than a desperating heart.
Yes.
Like you can't be desperate when you offer.
Yeah.
So I saw this question to a point where it says, oh, I'm seeing an exploitation here.
Yeah.
And right now, we're living in a time where we see people being exploited.
Yes. Financial exploitation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're living in a season where we see... I said this this other day to a friend, and we also spoke about it, that I'm an owner of a farm.
Mm.
I have sheep.
Yeah.
And I get a shepherd to shepherd my sheep.
Yeah.
So if my shepherd shepherds the sheep, becomes hungry at the field, who must he ask?
For what? For food?
For food. Who must he ask? The person who hired him.
Yes.
But no, what happens? The shepherd skins off the sheep's head.
Yes.
Now, what's happening there?
I see the analogy. So in this regard, the pastor's the shepherd, the farmer's God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So God hired us.
Yeah.
God hired the leaders to lead the sheep.
Yeah.
In a better way.
Mm.
You can't ask
the sheep for the provision. Sheep
for provision.
Yeah. So what do you say then? I mean, we are on a superficial level here when it comes to these things. And I'm recognizing the fact that you're saying there is financial exploitation.
Yeah.
However, the people that believe that God uses people. So I'm assuming that the leaders would then say, because God uses these people, and I can't talk to him on a level where I'm like, God, yo, nigga, give me some food. So I can talk to these people, and then, you know, I can pray, yeah, and then talk to these people.
He shows us direction.
Yes.
God shows us direction all the time.
Yeah.
I believe that when I get it, okay. Oh, yeah. It's kicking in right now. Yeah,
you can speak in your language.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kicking in.
Yeah. What's kicking in? The spirit.
Not the spirit, but, you know, the language.
Oh, no, you can speak in it. Native language, yeah.
It's like when the shepherd is shepherding the sheep.
Yeah.
Obviously, you ask for provision unto God.
Yes.
And God shows you the direction.
Yeah.
And it depends on how you are saying it out to the sheep.
Mm.
Because remember, we have vulnerable people outside,
yes,
there. A person can take his last $100 or 100 rands.
And give unto the church.
To give unto
the
church,
yeah,
or unto the pastor. Actually, I don't think he's giving unto the pastor. Let's say he's giving to the church.
Yes.
Because it's going to be utilized in many different,
yes,
ways.
Yes.
Her last, and they're giving it all out.
Mm.
And
the scripture that backs that up is the woman who gave her last penny. And
thank
this
you.
Is, this is the scripture that is very misrepresented. But
yeah, in many ways.
Yes.
In many ways, I find it being misrepresented in many ways for myself. So when Jesus saw that woman, he said, this one has given enough.
Yes.
And He saw her heart,
yeah,
where it was coming from.
Yes.
A willing heart of saying, Lord, I have nothing.
Yes.
This is what I have. So I think even when the needy give, or when it comes to that extent,
yes,
they must check their heart. What decision are they making? Are they making it out of making a quick cash or what? You can't give pop-up titans and expected BMW tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, like giving with expectation. Are you against giving with expectation?
No, I'm not against giving in expectation, but I'm against in giving out of desperation.
In hope that your life will magically change overnight because you gave your last penny.
All this time you were not giving.
Yeah.
Freely you've received, freely give.
Yes.
All this time you decided not to give. But on the last day when you heard a report of saying you have such a disease.
Yes.
Then you opt to say, oh, I remember something like this. If can happen, let me, you know.
Wow.
Hoping to I don't know, I would say bribe God. Why are you bribing God?
You're trying to twist his hand.
Yeah. And he said it's simple. Test me and try me, man. Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're a man of great intellect and wisdom, I have prepared a very tough question for you. And I think I'm getting into the tougher questions right now. Do you believe that Christianity is the only true gospel? And if it is the Bible the only absolute truth?
Wow. Yeah. You see this one? I love the question.
Yeah.
I loved it. But I made it personal for myself.
Yes.
Because, yes, I do believe.
Mm.
But do I believe that it is the only gospel? I'm uncertain to that.
Wow.
I'm uncertain.
This is how intellectual people respond to questions.
Yeah, so I'm uncertain. But I do believe because Christianity is about believing.
Yes.
And, no, a person came to me and that's how I believed.
Yes.
And also that the Bible is an absolute truth.
Yes.
I'm uncertain too that one, because why are we putting the Quran?
Yes.
Why are we putting these other things?
Yeah.
Which I have no far knowledge of.
Yes.
But based on the Bible that I've grew up with.
Yes.
I would say it gave me an inspiration. Like it gave me a passion.
Yeah.
You know, when I first believed in Christianity.
Yeah.
Within, this thing happened within, not just merely outside, but it happened within for me, and it created an urge for me to go into and study the words that were spoken.
Yeah. Wow.
To understand who is God in me and what is Christianity.
Yeah.
To experience or to read about the encounters of all these people in the Bible.
Wow.
For me, I would say for me it's truth,
and it was life changing.
It was a life changing for me. It was a life changing, but I won't say absolute.
Yeah.
But referring, when I say I won't say absolute, I will be referring to, you know, the history of what. But I don't know what is it.
Yeah.
So to save myself, you know, bro. Yeah.
This is a very intellectual way of answering questions. Do not go anywhere. When we're coming after these, we're going to be talking about the threat that women impose to the men that we are trying to identify as toxic within the societies that we live. I'm here with Ubongane Thungwane, and I'm coming back right after these.
Stand by. I'll be right there.
We are the brave of tomorrow. The strong ones, the great ones, the creative ones, the most graceful ones. Tomorrow belongs to the brave, and the brave only. It depends on us.
Only the brave. The original fragrance by Diesel.
Stand by. I'll be right there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again. We are back. I'm here in the studio with Ubongane Thungwane, and we will further be discussing some of the things that make him what he is. Are you still good, sir?
Yeah, I'm still good, man. I'm fantastic now.
Beautiful. I'm very excited for the next segment of the questions that we're going to have.
Me too. Hey.
And you know, because we're in the context of GBV, mm-hmm. and it's a serious matter. And I think that we as men, young men growing up to be men, we need to really try to eradicate any form of ignorance mm-hmm. that might have led mm-hmm. to GBV being a thing that mm-hmm. is so alarming and so threatening. And you know, one of the things that I've always like thought about is that men often feel threatened by women's independence. And how do you as a leader then inform men about feminism and help dissolve the idea of toxic masculinity?
Yeah. I'm glad. You know, this question.
Yeah.
Based on the gender-based violence that is going on in South Africa, for me, I agree with the statement.
Yes.
Men do feel threatened.
Women's independence.
By women's independence.
Yeah.
And as a leader, I would say, I'll try to inform men in seeing the opportunities
yeah.
and abilities that we all have
yeah.
as equal.
Wow.
Between men and women.
Sure, that's beautiful.
Because, you know, when God made us or created us, he yeah. said, be fruitful and multiply.
Yes.
He created men and female.
Mm.
So as men, we're becoming fruitful
yeah.
in whatever potential that we have
yeah.
and was instilled in us.
Mm.
Also, women have yeah. that potential.
Yes.
The same that God has instilled in us.
Yeah.
So I'll try to teach men not to feel
threatened. Yeah.
And also to break this stereotyping thing.
Stereotypical. Yeah.
They are
it's killing
to,
our nation.
To break that thing, you know, of yeah. saying I would not be led by a woman.
Yeah.
You know, it's good that you've pointed out this because we're moving into a change, like changing of seasons or yeah. changing of times.
Mm.
Because we also have women who are women of God who yeah. share the word.
Yeah.
We have women who go into industrial engineering
yeah, places. Yeah.
Places. You know, and they carry heavy things.
Yeah.
Same as us as men.
Mm.
So the stereotyping or the thought of having an entitlement against them must be broken.
Yeah. When you're saying that, one of the things that is weird
yeah.
is the whole, and I had a conversation with another man, and we're having a conversation about how for the longest of time we've been made to believe a lie that is women can handle cheating better than men can. And you know, cheating for women is not as destructive as it would be for men. Mm. And in fact, there's a verse in the Bible that I'm not too sure of. That says if a man was to be cheated on, it would be devastating to them. And you're like, but then why is it not referring to how it's devastating to the woman too?
Yeah.
And these sort of stereotypes, we must let go of them because they are destroying our nation.
Yeah. Another thing I've said is that we as leaders must be careful.
Yeah.
We must be careful to inform men to look above the systemic pressures
yeah.
that are placed set by the society environment.
Yeah.
You know, of saying women cannot be in power.
Yeah.
We must change as men. We must look at things differently.
Yeah.
Rather than the way we grew up.
Yeah.
You know, it all started when we grew up.
Yeah.
A boy would just be told, Wuti, go play soccer, do yes. 1, 2, 3. But a girl child will be told
to wash dishes, yeah.
stay in the house and do all the chores.
Yeah.
What about the guy?
Mm.
And then when they're older now, that's where the oppression comes.
Yeah.
Of saying, I won't be listening. I'm threatened by this yes. lady or this woman.
And when you say that, I remember also growing up as a child, we are taught this thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a teaching, like an intentional teaching, but it's like a sublime teaching where I remember when I was in primary, I wouldn't want a girl to talk over me. I just had a thing.
You see?
You know, it's that thing. And then you're like, but what does a 3-year-old know about that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way we grow up. and families, you see how your father is talking to your mother, and how society, your uncles are talking to your aunts. Mm-hmm. It's that thing. And of course, we have to, you know, sort of inform them so that they can unlearn those traits, but make sure that for the future generation, we show these people that this is not the way. We need to change this thing.
Yeah. That's where then the solving of this toxic masculinity comes in.
Yeah.
Where we cannot start from older men,
yes,
like big men like us right,
yeah,
now. We are head-hearted.
Yes.
It's my taiko.
Yes.
So we need to look down.
Yeah.
Let's look for the next generation.
Yeah.
The young girl, the young boy.
Yeah.
Start there. Solve the problem there. Make them to share things. Make them to do the same things.
Yeah.
Though I know it won't be every same thing.
But yeah.
Let them try. If it's a boy, make him to do the ironing.
Yeah.
The dishes.
Yeah. Open-mindedness, yeah.
Open-mindedness. So that when they come to an older stage,
mm,
and the man meets with the woman and they get into marriage level, they have a sense of understanding their differences,
yes,
and abilities.
Being considerate.
Being considerate.
And sensitive one another, yeah.
Sensitive to one another, because they understand with this lady and this man, they share a lot of things.
Yeah.
The other man who says a man can't go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
That must stop.
It must stop, man.
And we have chefs who are men.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
And nurses who are male. And bus drivers who are female.
Thank you.
And now, just because someone is a different gender does not automatically assume you're going to die in an accident.
And
just
really,
because the female is driving.
I really admire, you know when I'm walking, né?
Yeah.
When I'm walking and I see a woman driving a bus.
Yeah.
You don't know what that does to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Like, I get inspired.
Saying, yeah.
Wow. Women can drive buses.
Yeah.
When I see them driving a train.
Yes.
Then something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's the thing, man.
Yeah. Open-mindedness, man. You know,
open-mindedness.
Open-mindedness is important. In fact, I have realized that when we are close-minded, it's probably like not even a word, but when we are not the opposite of open-mindedness,
mm-hmm,
when we are structured, we don't move forward. We're not greater than we are limiting the potential,
mm,
of what we could have been, mm-hmm, had we been more open-minded.
Mm.
But still, you know, because now we're talking about gender. The other thing that we need to get to, which is still a big problem,
mm-hmm,
is race.
Yeah.
And people of color are often subject to the gospel, especially because of its European context.
Mm-hmm.
How are we as leaders helping in democratizing Africans?
I think we will have to first, as Africans, understand where we come from.
Yeah.
Because the European context of it,
mm,
when it was introduced to us,
yeah,
didn't really blend in because of the differences Africans have.
Yeah.
We have clans, we have tribes, we have tradition,
yeah,
we have culture to follow. So I think to help Africans,
yeah,
is for them to be rooted.
Yeah.
To be rooted into
their own culture.
To their own culture.
It's interesting that you say that. Let's get a bit into the Bible. If you read the whole book of Ezra,
yeah,
understanding that the Israelites were moving from exile in Babylonia,
mm-hmm,
and they were moving back to Jerusalem to, mm-hmm, rebuild the temple of God.
Yeah.
It is so interesting for me that the oppressors had a problem with the rebuild of
the walls,
the temple, because, mm-hmm, they said, if these people rebuild the temple, they'll be difficult to rule.
Yeah.
So now, just imagine how much more free Africans would be if we were to embrace our own temple.
Oneness.
this is your part.
Okay. Can you say it again?
So, if rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem was making it difficult for the Israelites to be ruled and controlled, how much more as Africans would we be freed if we were to actually embrace our culture and who we are and what we stand for as African people?
I'll try to answer this one. I think we'll be freed in terms of we'll be understood of who we are, rather than being imposed of saying, take this one.
Yes.
That's where then it underlines that thing of decolonizing.
Yes.
Decolonizing.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. So, you know, it underlines those things.
Yeah.
We are decolonizing ourselves and making ourselves free.
Yes.
From the Western.
Yes. And being decolonized does not automatically assume that now we are Antichrist. Because that's the other thing that we've been taught to believe, that if you follow your African roots and you embrace your African culture, now you're Antichrist or you're anti-Christian or you're anti-religious, which is, it's a fallacy.
And another part, we're not evil.
Yeah.
It can be related to say, now as you're following that, you start to be evil.
Yes.
No. Ow. So it's not about that.
Yeah.
It's being free, man. Yeah, being accepted for who we are as Africans.
Yeah.
I think.
Interesting question. If you were to today go to a place to look for your identity as an African man, where would you go? If you wanted to find out more about what it means to be African, where would you go to find such information?
That's really nice to say. You know where I would go?
Yeah.
I'll travel the continent of Africa. Try to understand the continent of Africa.
Yeah.
Because even Christianity, to say, it all transpired from Africa.
Yeah.
The African continent.
Yeah.
We're rich.
Yes.
In resources,
culture,
everything.
Yeah.
So understanding Africans, that will make me to find myself.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you say that, because we as African, I'll tell you this for myself. If somebody has listened to my identity series, I never wanted to be black growing up.
Wow.
I wanted to be white. Sure. And you know, when I started getting into high school, I said, the day I get a ticket to go to either the US, the United States, or England, I'm leaving and I'm gone for good.
Sure.
And the reason why was that I thought, well, one of the reasons, I thought that if I can leave Africa and I go to those sides, I'll fully be able to express my genius. Right. And when you're mentioning now, you just got me thinking that, wow, how much more powerful I would be if I was to learn more about other African cultures and tribes and history.
True. I think this led me to, I've encountered a lot of friends. I've made friends who are from Angola.
Yeah.
Yeah. This friend of mine, Alexandre.
Shout out to you, Alexandra.
Yeah.
Am I saying it properly?
Alex. Let's say Alex, in Angola. And Clinton in... what's that country again?
Look at African people. This is us. We don't know our places. Clinton.
This is us.
It's Clinton. This is another friend. Clinton.
Yes Clinton. Right. So those people, I've learned to...
Is it not Bulgaria where he's coming from? Clinton.
No, it's not Bulgaria.
Okay.
It's
Burundi.
I can't say Burundi because it's like the Dominican Republic of. I just forgot it.
It's
fine.
It's
okay. and also Kevin.
Yes.
So these, I've learned a lot from them.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from them, since they come from. Out of the borders of South Africa.
Yeah.
I'm from within. They come from abroad. And I could pick up that we have similarities. We have a connection of living, of ways, or I would say life cycle.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's how I've embraced it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful, man. So these friends of yours, they have made you embrace more the African people.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let me ask you a weird question. This is not a weird question. Sure. Where is Egypt? In which continent is Egypt?
Where is Egypt?
Yes.
Egypt is in Africa.
I'm so happy you said that, because I asked this lady, African lady.
Yeah.
And she said Egypt was in the UAE.
Wow.
And I was scared, because I'm not scared with what she said. I was scared because for a second I questioned myself if it was actually in Africa. I was almost like, what? No. But the fact that I was uncertain,
yeah,
was alarming for me. Because we are not aware of these things. When you think about an Egyptian, do you think, oh, we are from the same place? Or do you, when you look at someone who's what we would call Amakula, do you recognize them as Africans?
African.
Or do you like, no, they are foreigners, they are immigrants, they are people that are destroying South Africa? Or are they also part of Mother Africa?
I've not come to that extent of saying I've seen them from outside.
Yeah.
Though they are coming from an outside country.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are part of the mother African continent.
Yeah.
You see? So though it will differ in terms of color, that's where we're mistaking it.
Yeah.
We see the color and have our own opinions and views and say, this
ignorant
one.
Opinions and
Thank
views.
Thank you. Ignorant opinions and views and say, this one.
Yeah.
Comes from Orkant.
Which is a very offensive word.
Which is a very offensive word. Yeah. You know, and it's nice to some, because they've managed to embrace it and make it a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Kwere, they laugh about it.
Yeah.
But to some, it's still offensive.
And we must stop calling people like that.
We must stop calling people
Kwere. It's the same thing where someone calls you kafir and they laugh about it, but it's not a joke to us. But we are also inflicting such names as Kwere Kwere, Makula to other people. And we must actually stop this ignorant behavior.
We should stop this ignorance, because I remember we all call them my friend, right?
Yeah.
We call them my friend.
Yeah.
I even went to an extent of learning. I tried to learn their language.
Yeah.
I asked them, what in your own language, when I say my friend, what do you say?
Mm.
And they say Gala.
Mm.
And I was
Gala.
Like, oh.
Can I call you Gala?
Can I call you Gala then? Then he was like, okay, call me Gala. Then I called him Gala.
Sure.
That is, it's taking a step of learning the person.
Taking a step forward.
Forward of learning the person, of learning
that, yeah.
of learning the native and where he comes from.
Yeah.
And I remember just basic things, learned to say thank you rather than saying Yabong.
Yeah.
No, I was like, okay, what do you say when you say thank you? And I say Don Noba.
Don Noba.
Don Noba. Then okay,
yeah,
I was okay with that. Life moves on.
Wow, that's beautiful. I'm gonna start practicing that. And I'm gonna say shout out to Ubongani when I start doing it.
Man.
So then, what has been the impact of religious leadership in your personal development? Because you said earlier, that the Bible was very inspiring to you,
mm-hmm.
and it led to you being who you are today.
Yeah.
Religious leadership, then, how does that play a role?
Religious leadership then plays a role in, I remember it made me to develop myself in putting principles and making morals for myself. It brought me to line, like in terms of making decisions of life, walking, and it impacted me in a positive way, though. It made me grow and see things differently, rather than just merely walking in life. I think to just simply say that one, I'll say it made me to develop principles for myself, discipline and morals, values,
ethics, and
I'm
gonna ask you an unfair question.
Thank you.
Who's God? And how does one connect to God? Very unfair question.
That's an unfair question.
Very unfair question. Okay. If you don't want to answer it, I'll really understand. It's a very unfair... If I was asked this question, I'd really be like, that's an unfair question.
An unfair question, but it also is a helpful question to some. Because a lot of people outside there are asking themselves, who is God?
Yeah.
Even in the midst of Christianity.
Yeah.
We find elderly people still, even though
trying to figure out who God is.
Trying to figure out whose God is.
Yeah.
But my answering or my view were to say, God is an eternal being.
Yeah.
Who created and preserves all things.
Mm.
He's an eternal being.
Yeah.
That was me identifying who God is.
Yeah.
A creator. He's everything. He made these things to be in existence.
Would you call him an artist?
Very creative one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, even when we go to the Bible, we find it in the first book.
Yeah.
In Genesis 1, verse 1, God created heaven and earth.
Yeah.
You know, and we also, even though you can go to our books like the Colossians chapter 1:16, says the invisible God.
Yeah.
You know, he coexisted before everything.
Yeah.
Everything made by him. He set it all these rules, kingdoms, and following, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful that you actually answered the question.
I'm thankful.
Before I get to the last segment, I'd like us to take a break. And when we return, we're going to have the last part of Ubongani Thungwane share to us if he's proud to be African and why is he proud. Coming up right after these.
Stand by. I'll be right there.
Hey, Thirst. Can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this? Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Stand by. I'll be right there.
Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, Goodwill Mabena, and this is the last segment. Unfortunately, we have to let go of Ubongani. But before we do that, I have two more questions for him. And the one question is... Bing! Are you proud to be African and celebrate your roots as an African man?
Wow. In fact, yes, I am.
Wow, yeah.
And I would even share with you my clan names.
Yeah,
you know?
Go ahead. Yeah, wow.
My
yeah.
name is Bongani and my surname is Thugwana. Thugwana is Thugwana Mtao. Kelegendle. Ndodeya thandwa ngamanye amadoda. Ngodeya thandwa eyathandwa ngamanye amadoda. Awayithembi. Hayi chichize.
Yeah.
Igidigidi laka Thugwana labona ubukhosi
yeah.
Laki dizela lathi mama musukulila sengililile ngomlonyana onzinyana odla imithi Thugwana Mtao keleke.
Wow, ah. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Hey. When did you learn this? You're getting to it now.
I'm feeling it, man. You know, my grandmother.
Yeah.
My grandmother.
Wow, women.
My grandmother, women. She was blind.
Yeah.
She couldn't see.
Mm.
And you know, I grew up, she would bring us closer to her though. Yeah. She was blind.
Yeah.
And she would feel us with her hands.
Yeah.
How high we are.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
as
yeah,
we
yeah.
grow.
Yeah.
And she would say Thugwana Mtao.
Yeah.
Kelegendle.
Yeah.
No, say those clan names.
Yeah.
And I've seen it as I'm busy growing. I've seen it even to my cousins.
Mm.
My children, my brother's children.
Yeah.
She does the same thing, though. Yeah. She's late now.
Yes.
But she did
wow,
the same
sorry,
thing.
Man.
But all of us, from a young age, she will bring us close.
Yeah.
And teach us those clan names.
Reiterate them to
yeah.
you guys.
And we'll wow. always say when we go to visit her house in Zithobeni, we yeah. say, Siakoko Thugwana.
Yeah.
Call her by the clan name.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll embrace it.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I've learned my clan names.
Yeah.
There was a presentation at primary where they said, go and look for your clan names.
Yeah.
And that gave me an opportunity to find out who am I.
Yeah. Wow.
And I found it that I'm an Mtao.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I am Thugwana.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad, man.
That is
I celebrate
that is
myself.
You know what? I'm very happy, man. That you shared that with us. You know, it's an intimate moment and I'm very happy to have heard it. And thank you for coming once again, man. You know, unfortunately, our time has come to an end. But what can we expect from you in the near future?
Yeah, no, people can expect from me growth in terms of leadership. Looking to grow up young people, like to grow together in leadership. To take dominion in the leadership space. Because we need more young people. And I'll be doing this most in my church. In where I fellowship in, in International Assemblies of God. That's where I attend my church.
And so, where exactly is that place, if you don't mind to...
It's right here in Egangala. But there are different branches. There's also branches in almost... Even around the world, we have them. Over 150 of them. And our president is Gordon Lebilo. So, yeah, people can just go to the internet and say International Assemblies of God. They will see that one and they will search the one near them. And that's where we're growing.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And looking forward to hosting events of growth in terms of leadership and also touching in aspects of issues like life that people go through. Right now, not long from now, I think next week we'll be having our second annual depression turning scars into sparklings. So it's a an initiative that was started by one of our youth ladies in church. Her name is Mpumi. She started that initiative of
shout out to you, Mpumi,
of helping out young people to speak up in terms of the depression that they face, the issues of life that we go through.
Wow, beautiful, man. So how do people connect with you?
People can connect with me via Facebook. They can just search Bongani Tukwana. So there are two accounts. They will see that there's Bongani Sbu Tukwana. But that one does not work anymore. But the one that works is Bongani Tukwana. And my Instagram, I'm no more in Instagram.
I hear you say Bongani Tukwana and I've been saying Tungwana.
You know the Home Affairs mistakes in it.
Us. So this is exactly how it's pronounced. It's spelled.
This is how you spell it because it's Tungwana. But
yes,
Tungwana. You said ne, but now
Tungwana, you know, with an A.
Yeah, with an A.
Apologies,
but now
man, I'll
it's fine because you know even in the Home Affairs of the Home Affairs. Those are the mistakes that happen. But when we call it out ourselves, we say Tukwana.
Tukwana. So this is a is this how it's spelled on your ID?
In my ID.
Exactly like this.
Yes, exactly and exactly like this, except for the E.
Tungwana.
Yes. With,
I'm very sorry, man. I recognize such things. I can't mispronounce your name and not you know, apologize. So it's Bongani Tukwana. Am I saying it properly?
Tukwana, that's my name.
Mr. Bongani, thank you very much for coming to the show.
Thank you,
and
Mr. Mabena.
We will see you next time on The Goodwill Show.